Welcome to this amazing, mind-blowing podcast.
You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2 p.m., our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews, and culture pieces from across Aotearoa Dunedin.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the R1 News at 1. I'm Celia.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Adam.
And we are your hosts today. We'll be back shortly with the bulletin, but first up is Lucy Hunter. Please just break my heart and let me go.
Here are the R1 News at 1 headlines.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Wednesday, the 28th of August. I'm Adam.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Celia.
In national news, a new MB survey based on data from PowerSwitch has revealed that New Zealanders with the lowest income pay the nation's highest power prices, and cities with the highest average income have the cheapest electricity. Peter de Graaf of RNZ reports. This power disparity comes amidst what Prime Minister Christopher Luxon has labelled an energy security crisis, which has seen the New Zealand government question the security and affordability of the nation's power supply during a dry winter, which has affected the hydroelectric power production. This crisis has seen consumers in the far north and in the Buller district paying 45.59 and 44.05 cents per kilowatt hour, respectively, while the other top five paying districts include Central Hawke's Bay, as well as the Clutha and Grey districts. At the other end of the spectrum, residents of Wellington and Christchurch are the cheapest locations in the country, paying just 31.17 and 31.27 cents. These figures show that the areas with the lowest median household incomes are paying disproportionately higher power rates compared to the rest of the country.
New Zealand high school students must pass new literacy and numeracy tests to earn the NCEA qualification, RNZ reports. The tests are designed to ensure students have essential reading, writing and math skills before they graduate. However, many students and teachers are finding these tests much harder than expected. Students at Aorere College in South Auckland are having a tough time with the new tests. Many of them speak English as a second language, which makes the tests even more challenging. The school's principal, Leanne Webb, said that the tests are difficult because they focus on skills not usually covered in regular classwork. As a result, students are struggling to pass, and there's a fear that many might have to repeat a year or even drop out. This situation has raised concerns about fairness. Some students, especially those from lower decile schools or those who speak English as a second language, may find these tests more challenging. Teachers and principals are calling for a system that better supports all students, ensuring they have the skills they need without being unfairly penalised.
In Dunedin news, paramedics from across Dunedin took part in the national withdrawal of Labour on Saturday, with the group picketing in the Queen's Garden in a call for the Crown to fully fund Hātāhone St John's operational cost, Mark John of the ODT reports. The 24-hour withdrawal period lasted from 4 a.m. Saturday to 4 a.m. Sunday, with union members across the country missing the first 4 hours of their shifts. The Labour withdrawal was sparked by a lack of funding in the southern regions that did not allow for paramedic services to be sufficiently resourced, as well as organisations struggling to pay staff wages. Dunedin Industrial Action organiser Angus Wilson of First Union stated that although it's been doing just okay at the moment, they don't have the capacity to deal with, say, a rugby event or a concert, with Wilson saying that it was pandemonium when a large event comes to Dunedin. Wilson also said that the current funding model from the government will lead to a reduction of services, with there already being not enough paramedics in the city to cope with staff leave entitlements and sicknesses. As a consequence, this has resulted in slower response times. Ambulance personnel members of First Union and Amalgamated Workers Union New Zealand are asking the government to increase funding by $60 million to cover 100% of the service's operational costs.
Pavel Durov, the Russian-French billionaire, founder and CEO of the Telegram messaging app, was arrested at Bourget Airport outside Paris on Saturday evening, reported through RNZ by TF1 TV and BFM TV. Durov was travelling aboard his private jet, TF1 said on its website, adding he had been targeted by an arrest warrant in France as part of a preliminary police investigation. Durov faces possible indictment on Sunday, according to French media. After Russia launched its invasion of Ukraine in 2022, Telegram has become the main source of unfiltered and sometimes graphic and misleading content from both sides about the war and the politics surrounding the conflict. The platform has become what some analysts call a virtual battlefield for the war, used heavily by Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky and his officials, as well as the Russian government. Telegram has also become one of the few places where Russians can access independent news about the war after the Kremlin increased curbs on independent media following its invasion of Ukraine. Russia began blocking Telegram in 2018 after the app refused to comply with a court order to grant state security services access to its users' encrypted messages. A Romanian court has ordered internet personality Andrew Tate to be placed under house arrest, his representative said after he was among six people taken into custody in an investigation into human trafficking and sexual exploitation, as reported by Octave Ganea from Reuters. The former professional kickboxer and his brother Tristan were among six people detained on Wednesday for an initial 24 hours after Romania's anti-organized crime prosecuting unit, DCOT, conducted four home searches in Ilfov County and the Bucharest municipality. Tate was already indicted in mid-2023 along with his brother and two Romanian female suspects for human trafficking, rape, and forming a criminal gang to sexually exploit women, allegations they deny. Before their latest detention, the brothers had been subject to a travel ban, under which they were free to travel within Romania but not leave the country. A self-described misogynist, social media influencer Tate has gained millions of fans by promoting an ultra-masculine lifestyle that critics say denigrates women. A post on Tate's account on social media platform X said, "All they try to do is damage my name with complete bullshit," without specifying who was being referred to. DCOT said in a statement that it had ordered the detention of six people for crimes including forming an organized criminal group, human trafficking, trafficking of minors, sexual intercourse with a minor, and money laundering. It said that it had requested that three of the detained defendants remain in custody, while another one be put under house arrest.
If you're feeling overwhelmed by everyday choices, you may be experiencing decision fatigue. Australian psychologist director Carly Dober says that decision fatigue is a state of mental overload that can impact or impede a person's ability to continue making decisions, and it can occur when you're having a difficult time. RNZ reports. This can hit hard, especially for students juggling study, social plans, and part-time jobs. Ms. Dober recommends reducing random decision-making and taking some unnecessary thinking out of your day. For example, choosing tomorrow's outfit the night before and setting up automatic billing payments. The article reports that decision fatigue doesn't necessarily warrant a trip to the GP, but if you're experiencing symptoms that mirror burnout, such as exhaustion, cynicism, brain fog, low energy, or those of depression or anxiety, it's best to seek help. This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Wednesday, 28th of August. Today's bulletin was written and read to you by Adam Stightley, Celia Ward and Tristan Serrano. We will be back shortly with the weather and also the local produce for the week, but first up is Free Throw, Chelsea Jade.
This is R1 News bringing you the weather. Today's a beautiful 16 degrees. It's a great day for pint night. Stick around till 4:30 to skip the line.
Local produce, but the Radio 1 version. It's like normal local produce, but for the radio. We invite Critic Te Aorihi's local produce columnist, Jordan Irvine, on air to talk about this week's featured artist or initiative on the R1 News.
Welcome back to R1 News at 1. We are joined now by Jordan from The Critic, who is here with us again to talk about their column, Local Produce. Welcome, Jordan.
Thank you so much for having me.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. The sun is out. It is very nice.
I should
have worn shorts.
Yeah,
like
it's
I did
really
yesterday,
sunny.
But it is what it is.
Yeah. Who is this week's local produce?
It is Angus Rees, aka Risk. He is a DJ and also part of our writer staff at Critic, and also does a show here on Radio 1 with our promotions manager Lily. So yeah,
wow,
really
familiar
cool.
face.
Yeah.
Where did the name Risk come from? I was wondering then.
Risk was the name of his his uncle was a DJ. He doesn't like know him, but like he DJs in like Barcelona.
Ah.
And he just like knew about it and like found him on Facebook and like messaged him.
Yeah.
And was like, can I use this name? Because I'm like DJing. And he's like, yeah, for sure. Oh. So yeah, that's where that came from.
Oh, that's so funny. How did you come across him?
That's the homie. So
yeah,
he was just telling
everywhere.
He was just like telling me like, oh, come to Caro, I'm DJing Caro. Yeah. And I'm like, real? And yeah, so I just go to Caro and I see him and it's a good time.
Yeah. I saw he's the Amos Fridays, isn't he?
Yeah, the Amos Fridays, yeah.
Yeah.
Just sick.
Did he share how he got into it?
I mean, like most people, you know, you're just like you're hanging around Dunedin. Everyone's kind of like mixing, doing decks. But he wasn't really a fan of the DMB scene. So lead more into techno and hard groove and house.
Yeah.
And that's more of the stuff he does, which is really sick.
How's it going for him? Is he loving it?
Yeah, he loves it. He's really great. He's playing a show in Queenstown for like some festival, which is really sick.
Yeah.
Loves doing the regular residency at Caro. He's got a Halloween show coming up, going back to back with DJ Bax.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. He's excited about that.
Yeah, so the one in Queenstown, that's through Subcurrent New Zealand, isn't it? Yeah. And there's lots of DJs going to be there?
Yeah, there's just heaps of like local talent all around. The South Island mainly all come together to play this awesome festival.
Awesome.
So it'd be cool.
Cool. How can listeners find him?
Just follow him on Instagram at risk.reese.
Yep.
Pretty sure it is. Yeah, or just come to Caro on Friday.
Yeah.
Come to Carousel.
Is he there this Friday?
Yeah, I think he is. So yeah, that'll be a good show.
Cool.
He's sick. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that is this week's local produce, Risk.
Yeah, Risk.
And this was Jordan from The Critic talking to us.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, Jordan.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1, here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily wherever you get your podcasts. Or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings.
All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.